And now I'm calling Ben. Oh, I think I did this before, and yet I can't help it. I'm trying to dial and sing at the same time, and it's really messing with my head. Oh dear, I think I've got to stop singing. I stopped, and now I'm starting, and Ben can cut out most of this song. He might just keep it in.
Puggity.
To make me sound really weird. Hey, Ben.
How's it going?
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I had a very bizarre thing happen to me.
What's that?
I was trying to dial your phone number, which I have memorized.
You have memorized.
But I was also making up a song, and I couldn't dial your number while I was singing.
Because you would need to have sung the numbers to my song?
I think so, yes.
And you know what I mean by when I said that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to sing the numbers to your song, Ben.
Like Elton John said.
I would have had to have thrown your numbers into the lyrics that I was doing.
Right.
And because I couldn't, my brain was having a buffering problem. I think. Is it buffering? It was trying to do two things at once. What happens to the computer when that happens and you don't have enough memory?
I don't know. A kernel panic?
Maybe so. Kernel panic, that's a pretty good. It's my derby name. Gonna do it. So hey, Ben.
Paul.
Hello.
Hey.
Good morning. Or afternoon.
It's afternoon. It's getting well into the evening times here as well as over there.
Yes. Well, that's right.
Not the morning unless you work nights.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, for me, it's 6 o'clock, which is right on that time. I got a notification. For those of you who were hoping that there would be corrections, there are going to be corrections.
I just saw that they came in.
We'll touch on that a little bit later on in the show. But first of all, for all of our new listeners, you know, because there will be some. Sometime.
Hopefully.
Eventually. Maybe. This is the Goody Lawrence podcast. Ben Lawrence and I are performance artists.
How dare you give my real name?
I'm sorry, Ben. Is that a problem?
No, for the Goody Lawrence podcast where each week Paul and Ben talk about something, it's a little late for me.
Pretty easy to put that together.
Right.
Oh, man. Paul Lawrence, Ben Goody. We've never done it. But that would be another thing if we ever wanted to obscure ourselves even more.
Well, we have played each other, but we've never switched our names.
Exactly, that's right.
Anyway,
the basic thing is that we are performance artists from the late 20th, early 21st century.
Indeed,
I would say. I mean, really, we've been performing together mostly from the early 21st century.
Yes,
on. We do this podcast to let you in the future know what life was like during these times.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very useful for future generations.
If there are future generations.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
As well. This might be, if you're a alien life form that's found this and are wondering what the heck planet Earth was all about, we'll give you a very narrow window
right
from what was going on here.
A very narrow perspective.
Oceans, there were oceans,
were a thing.
From there life happened. There's more stuff before the oceans too. Let's go back.
Many other podcasts which cover all of that in greater detail than we can go into.
Yeah, exactly. So, basically, oceans, and then life, and then me and Ben. Yeah. That's all you really need to worry about.
Step 1, step 2, step 3.
Exactly. And so, interesting to me anyway, is after we spoke, did we talk about the coronavirus at all in the last
podcast? I don't think we did. I think we may have mentioned it briefly, but I don't think we talked about it in detail or as much detail as we can go into. But
for
it seems to have exploded in the last week.
Yeah, for a while, it was mostly China that was an issue. I remember, I think I mentioned, maybe not on the podcast, maybe I was talking to Jennifer. It's sad to say that talking to Jennifer and doing the podcast sometimes hit the same area in my brain.
Yeah.
Because both times Jennifer corrects me when I get something wrong.
So just briefly, we did mention the coronavirus last week.
Okay.
Because I'm reading the show notes from last week's show.
Oh, great. I think that's fine. I think we can actually, still read show notes. That's that's an okay thing. So, but the basic thing, I read something where there's a guy for a while. People were just worried about Asia, it was an over there disease, and right. I remember somebody saying, well, it could impact the U.S. too. And as an example, they gave there's a company in the U.S. that takes empty shipping containers from shipments that come over from China and then redistributes them in the U.S. And those shipping containers are then used on trucks to transport goods
right
all across the United States. And this person was concerned because for next month, he didn't have any shipping containers scheduled. Which is
because there
crazy.
Are fewer and fewer goods coming over from China.
Exactly. So that's a way that can affect the United States. But since that time, a place that is on everyone's lips, after they have washed their hands, obsessively, when it comes to the coronavirus, Seattle, Washington.
Yes.
And guess where Ben lives?
Seattle, Washington.
Yeah. So what's it like there, Ben?
Well, I got to tell you, life has not changed for me. I went grocery shopping on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. There was plenty of toilet paper. There's a pretty sign from Costco that went around that says, we are currently out of these items. And like basic human necessities were flooded the list. Because I think people were panic buying. People have been panic buying. But I did not find that to impact me. I do not generally buy hand sanitizer. So,
should point out for those listening, hand sanitizers, normally antibacterial.
Right.
Coronavirus.
It's
virus.
A virus.
So
right.
Sanitize your hands all you want to. You're just going to breed a virulent strain of bacteria that will fight the coronavirus, probably.
Well, and this is something that I wrote about on Facebook today. For a number of years, I was always told that that antibacterial hand sanitizer was a bad thing because it would decrease your ability to fight bacteria. Mm. But now, hand sanitizer is being promoted as the one step between me living a full life and me dying in the first chapter of Stephen King's The Stand.
Yes.
And
that's...
people are hoarding hand sanitizer, much like they're hoarding paper towel, or not paper towels, toilet paper and bottled water for some reason. But
yeah, the thing that you point out, Ben, is correct, that by all means, hoard all the hand sanitizer that you want.
But all that being said, my daily life is not impacted. Those who commute by car are saying that the commute is not as bad as it used to be. Actually, I have to take that back. My life has been impacted because of the coronavirus. I was going to work for this large internet company that I sometimes contract with. They have not brought me on because they have canceled all of their shoots due to the coronavirus.
Oh, interesting.
So this is actually impacting me economically, I have to say.
Now, Ben, you and I actually, and I don't know if you know this, but we've never spoken about which internet company you work for.
I may have mentioned it on some past episodes of the podcast, if somebody wants to go through and comb through all of those.
But when you say shoots, you're not actually are you actually running cameras for them, or
I
are you
am,
just
no.
editing the footage?
I am just editing the footage. So
gotcha.
I would just be sitting in their office and editing all the footage. But they're canceling the footage. They're canceling all these shoots because
right.
they are being shot. The camera people and producers and sound guys have to travel, and so they've can't basically canceled them. And
gotcha.
I spoke with a friend of mine yesterday who works in the office, and he says that they're having everybody who can work from home to work from home.
Yeah. My job has always been very nice about us working from home. I actually work from home today. I do have a little bit of a sniffle. I don't think it's a big problem.
Yeah.
But the other big thing is I've been bringing my computer home so that I can work from home if I need to.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that I forgot to bring my computer in today.
Uh-oh.
And the reason is because I brought, as you might know, I'm a children's author. When Elephant Met Giraffe and A Surprise for Giraffe and Elephant are my two children's books. And I was bringing one in for a fellow employee. And because of that, I was like, got to remember to bring the book. Got to remember to bring the book.
Right.
I always forget the book. I got to remember. I finally remembered to bring the book.
Forgot
your laptop. Computer at home.
Yeah.
Which is fine because I got all my stuff done. I can, as long as I'm doing like data analysis stuff, I can do that pretty easily.
Yeah.
From home. The big thing that I need to do is when I need other people to give me things, I need to actually physically be there. I need to actually physically be there. Is that good English? I need to actually physically be
there. You can take away the actually modifier.
I need to be there.
And yeah, you can say I need to physically be there.
I need to physically be there. And the reason is they don't listen to me sometimes. And I have to put myself inside of their offices so that they listen to me.
Yeah. I get it.
I've mentioned this before. I've got people at work who are more than happy to come in when they're super sick and contagious, and I hate it.
I trust that you guys have decent health insurance.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
why are they coming in sick? I mean, one of the reasons why
Protestant work ethic.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons why people go to work sick is because they can't afford to go to the doctor.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I'm assuming that at your workplace, people, that's not an issue.
Right. They can't afford to go to the doctor, or they can't afford to miss work, right?
Yeah.
We have health insurance.
Yeah.
We have days off that you can take, you know, leave, sick leave.
Yeah.
And we also have work from home. So there's really no reason, unless you're actually. Oh boy!
Bark, bark, bark.
Something's happening. Yeah, you hear it? Could you hear that?
I heard Edward.
Yeah, that was Edward. Oh hey, we got pulled over today, by the way. the reason we got pulled over, it's dumb. I put Jennifer's license plate, with the sticker, on the front of the car instead of the back of the car.
That is a dumb reason.
Yeah. She had we think we've hit upon the best way to deal with police officers, and that's
be super nice and apologetic.
Be super nice, apologetic, but also sort of funny. And she was like, "Oh, what? For real? Oh, man." And it was good. He liked it.
Yeah.
She's mentioned that many of the police officers she talked to, if you try to cry, it actually doesn't go well for you as much. Here's the thing for me. I view my dealings with police officers and doctors and, you know, authority figures in general as a customer service interaction.
Yeah.
Where I'm trying to make them feel better about having to deal with me. And it usually turns out all right.
Yeah.
Of course, my particular demographic is... Here's the thing that people sometimes... And this is going to get a little controversial, Ben, and I apologize for bringing the podcast to this point.
Okay.
So, I am a straight white dude, and always, you know, as people say, that's the easy mode.
Yeah.
For video games and stuff.
Exactly.
However, there is one thing that I can't take off. You know, people say, well, you know, you could do this. I could shave. I could cut my hair, you know, all that. I can't not be a big weirdo. I've tried. It doesn't work. So in the strata of straight white men, the fact that I am a huge dork is and have a weird affect and stuff like that is something that I have over my, you know, 46, almost 47 years on the planet, made better through acting classes and just dealing with general people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I am a much more coherent being than I have been in the past.
Yeah.
But in the same way, I was very happy that Jennifer was there. Because if I had been pulled over, my trying to explain what was wrong with the license plates or whatever would have probably annoyed him to the point that I might have gotten a ticket. Although, yeah. I did have a busted taillight one time.
Yeah.
Well, Betty was in the car. But I got a fix-it ticket. So that was good.
Yeah.
Or not even a fix-it ticket. I just got a warning to fix it.
I
happened to have the light bulb in the car.
I guess it was a fix-it ticket, wherein I had to prove that I repaired the car.
Ooh, but yeah. I didn't have to do that.
I had to go to a police station and have an officer just visually verify that I had done what I was told when I was pulled over, which is super effing annoying.
So, but imagine now you're a police officer, right?
Yeah.
And that's your detail, that you have to do that. Do you like that job? Is it easy or is it a desk clerk?
This wasn't like the dude who has to visually look at cars. This was some guy running the front desk at the local police station.
Gotcha. So it's just another thing he has to deal with.
It was just a random officer. But it was my windshield wiper.
Oh,
yeah. I was in high school. So here's the story. I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I was driving home. I had a 45-minute commute to and from high school, my final 2 years in high school.
Wow.
So I did a lot.
How is that even possible?
Where
did you live?
Because we moved the summer after my sophomore year, and I refused to go to the new high school.
Oh.
And my parents were cool with it.
They let you do that.
My parents were cool with it. They're like, all right, well, we don't care. I mean, it's nothing to us. And we're making you move in the middle of your high school. So, yeah, it's kind of unfair. You can go ahead and go to your old high school. We just didn't tell the high school that I had moved.
Ah, okay. There we go.
Because we had actually moved to a different county. And so my parents' property taxes were going to a different school district. The school finally got smart to what the con I was pulling about halfway through my senior year, and by then they were just like, whatever, he's almost done with school.
How did they get wise to you? What was the tip off?
I guess our mail kept getting returned, and somebody realized that I was still enrolled, but mail wasn't getting to me. So they called to verify our address. And I quickly handed the phone off to my mother and made her deal with it. Because I'm like, you created this mess. You deal with it.
Nice. Wait, you created this mess by moving?
By moving, yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm driving.
Wow,
I'm driving
Ben, this puts you in a little bit of a new light for me. Standing up for yourself and hassling your mom. This is
totally.
Wow.
Of course, my mom could have just been like, "It's your school. You do it." But anyway, so I'm driving home one day, and it's raining, and my windshield wipers are going, and one of my windshield wipers flies off like the arm, the rubber arm flies off, and so now I got this metal arm scratching a line into my windshield as the windshield wipers are moving. So I pull over.
Yeah.
And you know how windshield wipers, you can like turn them up so you can clean the windshield?
Yeah.
I had done this. It was the passenger side. So I just lifted just lifted it up and continued home my merry way.
Smart.
And so I get home, I go to school the next day, it's raining, the windshield wipers are on, you know, I flip the arm up and it's going, it's not wiping the windshield, but the driver's side is getting wiped off.
Yeah.
As I'm going home that day, so it's the next day after this happens, I get pulled over.
Oh.
And the officer was like, you have to fix that. I can't let you not have a windshield wiper. It's a safety thing. So
yeah.
Here's a ticket. It's not a ticket, but here's a thing. Here's a piece of paper that if you take to the police station within the next 48 hours, you won't get a ticket for like driving an unsafe vehicle. I don't remember the details because I was, you know, 17 or 18 at the time. So I went home and I found a pair of windshield wipers in my garage that fit my dad's truck. So they were way too big for my car, but they still fit. So I put them on and drove to the Lacey Police Department and went into the front office and I handed him the thing and said, can you, you know, check off that I did this? And he came out, looked at my car, was like, all right, you're good. And I went on my merry way.
Crazy.
Yeah. It was just odd. I don't, you know, if I were, you know, a more angry individual, I could have, or not, as you say, you know, a straight white privileged dude, probably could have been like, why are the police hassling me?
Yeah, but that's the other thing, right? That is part of it, where because you've got this buffer, you know, it's annoying, but it's not like life or death. Or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. I was never afraid for my life. I just felt mildly inconvenienced.
Now, and this is the thing that's kind of crazy, is that I think of it back to the time when my brother, who I get along with now and who I like and all that, but whenever we were like, I can't call it fighting because he was much bigger than me.
Yeah.
So he was basically just torturing me. That's what it was.
There was no fighting.
He could just hold me down and do, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever we would do that, and I'd go, he'd be like, oh, that doesn't hurt. I would explain to him, no, it doesn't hurt you. You can't feel it at all. It's hurting me. I'm the one that's hurt, right?
Right.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah.
I feel as though, and I could be wrong, but for the police officer, if you had been of another race and he had said the exact same thing to you, in his mind, you know, it's the same interaction, kind of. He's like, you know, hey, get the – if he had done the exact same thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Hey, get this fixed, you know, all that. However, for – and this is all counterfactual. It's, you know, there's no way I can prove this, right?
Yeah.
But for the other Ben, that experience would have been perhaps more traumatizing.
Right.
Simply because you got pulled over. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, that you don't have, like I said, that buffer, that mental buffer of, well, I'm probably going to be fine. And that's the thing, right?
And also,
I knew
why I was getting pulled over.
Right.
It was pretty obvious.
Figured, yeah. I think that's something that people don't understand a lot of. But when I say people don't understand a lot, you see it happen all the time. There was a news article that somebody wrote a while back that like one of the first real internet outrages I remember seeing was a guy. He had written something about how you don't need to spend money to have a good time or living life to the fullest or something. And he talked about how, you know, he snuck into all these different places and had all these great experiences. And the general thrust of people who are criticizing her of this was, yeah, you're a straight white man, you can do that,
right,
and not be afraid for your, and it was really interesting, you know, and I still think about it to this day of yeah, there's this thing in the back of your head that's like, well, no matter what, I'm probably going to be fine. I'm probably not going to go to jail for this. So, I'm probably not going to.
Yeah, that guy was probably thinking the worst thing that can happen to me is they'll kick me out.
Yeah, exactly. They'll kick me out. They'll tell me that I can't do this or whatever.
Right.
Same kind of thing. I don't know. Like the concept of hanging out in an abandoned house. Right. Or going into an abandoned property. For a kid in, you know, the middle of nowhere or whatever, it's a fun little exploring thing. Hey, what's in this shed, you know, right, or whatever. If you live in a city, you know, you might get shot. And that's a weird, different, you know, mindset kind of to think about.
Right.
I was saying, I don't know if it was in the podcast or if I was just talking to Jennifer again. I hate it, Ben, but my brain, it just doesn't work the way it
used to. I am not Jennifer.
talking about how when I grew up in Dorsey, Illinois, there weren't police officers. We just didn't have them.
Okay.
And our fire department was like volunteer. And your nearest neighbor was a fourth of a mile away.
Right.
That kind of thing.
You didn't have police officers, but you had like a county sheriff or something like that.
Right. And the county sheriff didn't really show up unless you called him. You know, right. It wasn't like they were driving around looking for
didn't do people. Patrols.
Right. Exactly. And so, in a way, we kind of had a sort of anarchy that we grew up in. You know, it was
because you sociable. Could get away with stuff.
Right. Well, and nobody was telling you not to do things.
Yeah.
You know, because that was your property and your business, basically. And so I often think about that, like the collapse of society, if that ever happens. People are really afraid of it, right?
Right.
Because they're thinking about roving gangs and all that kind of stuff. Whereas I feel like it could just sort of settle into kind of how I grew up, where, you know, that's your neighbor. You don't go over there. They're friendly when you're in a neutral area, but you also know that you don't go over there without letting them know that you're going over there. You know, that kind of stuff.
It's hard when you have the density of a city.
Yes.
Where there are not there's no neutral areas.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. Oh, so getting back to the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So there's there's no real grocery store panic. What's the news like there? Is it anything like, do you feel like it's being even-handed?
I will be honest, I have not watched the news. All I've seen are basically headlines that have been posted either to Facebook, Twitter, or Reddit.
Okay, but gotcha.
Nothing that I would categorize as scaremongering. Nothing that I think instills panic in the populace.
And how is public transportation going?
I don't know. I've not gotten on the bus.
I mean, like, still people waiting for the bus? Nothing. It's not like the bus.
Anecdotally, Anecdotally, yeah, I think people have said that the buses have been pretty light.
Okay.
I've seen pictures of SeaTac, our airport here, where you know there have been basically no security lines and nobody's waiting to travel. Like, nobody's in the holding area, for lack of a better word.
Oh, interesting.
I think people are kind of bunkering down. I feel actually bad for people who work in the service industry, because, you know, I went to the QFC and it was fully staffed. The food was on the shelves, and in the meantime, people who work at Microsoft, who make probably, you know, 10 times as much as the checker at the QFC get to stay home, are being told, basically, work from home for the next 3 weeks. Expedia said that, too.
Hey, speaking about that, Ben, did you go to the Amazon Go store?
I've not gone into the Amazon Go store yet, but I did look into it. After our show last week, I paid attention to the infrastructure as I walked past.
Yeah.
The ceiling is not full of cameras, but there are these little black, like, rectangular boxes everywhere pointed in all directions. So if it's not using, like, facial recognition software, or it's using something else, some sort of sensor that can, and I don't know, who knows, maybe there are, like, per box, maybe there's 10 tiny cameras, you know, totally possible.
I mean, you bring a very, very good point, right? That in the end, data is data as far as, you know, all the artificial intelligence stuff. So maybe it, like, measures, like, every single package is probably a different size, maybe. This is an Apple, like, if it measures the outline of the items or, by the way.
Yeah.
Amazon Go Store.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon Ghost Tour sound the same when you say them out loud. So
I'd go on an Amazon Ghost Tour.
Yeah.
I probably don't have to, you know, I don't know. I probably don't have to assign my credit card to that. I just noticed recently that they're opening up a second full grocery store a block away from my apartment.
Oh, Amazon Go is?
Yeah, it's opening in May. So it could be it will be the closest grocery store if you don't count the deli that's in my building.
Interesting. I was thinking about that. I don't live necessarily in a food desert, but if I had to walk to a grocery store from where I live right now, I really don't know if I could. I'm trying to think of, you know, where it would be, and I can't.
Yeah.
There's a farmer's market, so I'd be able to go there. You know, but that's once a... Ooh, there's a butcher shop. So, okay, I'd be able to eat meat. No real grocery store. There used to be.
The thing about being within walking distance of a grocery store is it's super convenient if you need something for just that day. But if you're doing, like, your weekly shopping, you know, that's too much to carry in one trip.
Well, I mean, what I used to do is I would, you know, I would go to the grocery store every day, basically.
That's basically what I do.
Yeah. And that was something that, so New York is having a plastic bag ban.
Yes.
And
like we have here
somebody,
in King County.
Yeah, exactly. And somebody from California was like, hey, guys, don't worry about it. You'll just have 10 cloth bags that you keep in your car. And somebody from New York is like, a car, you say?
Yeah.
My car?
Every time I tell somebody that my meal planning is basically I stop by the grocery store on my way home and pick out something to eat that night, they're like, oh, that's very European. I'm like, no, it's very American.
Yeah.
Because exactly. I'm an American and that's what I do. I'm not trying to be European.
No, very European. I've mentioned this before, but when I was in France, I'm sure things have changed probably, but I went to, it was either the grocery store or the pharmacy. I can't remember which. And it was like noon, I guess. And he wasn't there. Yeah. The guy wasn't there. And they said, oh, and this is all in French. Obviously, he went home for lunch. He'll be back at 3. So I go back at 4 and he's gone. Because what he does is he goes and then he leaves for lunch and then he comes back at 3 and then he's gone at 3:30, basically. And I was like, how do you do a thing like that? And that, my friend, is European.
Yes.
That, inconvenient for the consumer. Which, if you think about the U.S., that's obviously...
That's somebody who doesn't depend on sales.
Exactly. Which would be nice, maybe. But, speaking about that, Ben.
Yeah.
The United States of America.
What about it?
We're getting closer to having our Democratic candidate for president.
We are. In fact, as we record this today, which is March 5th, we are down to two front runners for the Democratic nomination. I gotta admit, I don't even know, is Tulsi Gabbard still in the race?
I believe so, but she's largely ignored.
Right.
I would say.
Because Elizabeth Warren suspended her campaign today.
Yeah. I found that out from Jennifer.
Yeah.
As you know, I am no longer on Twitter, at least until after.
What are you talking about? I just saw you on Twitter. Not like today, no, but you've been on in the last week.
Right. But I said I was going to quit for 24 hours during Super Tuesday. And then
I
stopped Monday night and I started again on Wednesday morning. And it went so well, Ben. Things went so well for me at work and at home and all that, that I was like, okay, I'm going to do it again. and I'm not going to get back on until after the Illinois primary.
The thing that I voted for Warren in the Washington primary, which is next Tuesday. So, you know, I'm going to vote for a candidate who's no longer in the race. But Bloomberg dropped out, which was a huge sigh of relief to everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sure to even Mike Bloomberg, who spent almost $600 million.
Which to him is nothing.
To him is nothing. To a multi-billionaire is nothing. Well, I'm sure it stings a little bit because he didn't get anything for it.
Yeah.
Except for the four delegates from American Samoa.
And maybe he loves getting owned on live television.
it's just a little fetish.
Yeah, I was telling Jennifer, it would be smart for Biden to pick Warren as his VP. Because she polls very, very well as people's second choice for president.
The thing that scares me about Biden, though, is he has said in the past that he would pick a Republican vice president.
He should go with Kamala Harris. She's not a Republican, but she has a lot of policies that they like.
Yeah. I want Elizabeth Warren. I mean, I think the problem here is that both Bernie and Warren come from states that have Republican governors.
Huh.
And a lot of people were like, Bernie-Warren ticket. You know, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. But if that happens, then the Republican governors of Vermont and Massachusetts are going to pick Republican senators to replace them.
Oh, interesting. That's a very good point. I don't know. Jennifer was saying that she was going to write her in. The only thing I'm concerned about, as far as that goes, is the way that the Illinois primary was last month. Or not last month, last go round.
Yeah.
You didn't actually pick who you wanted to be president. You are the presidential candidate. You picked the representatives that you wanted to show up, and they had told you who they were going to vote for, but you
do. So you voted for the delegates?
Yes. And if you remember, this is the thing I didn't like. Because there were five slots. You had five votes.
Yes.
And there were five delegates for Clinton and six delegates for Sanders.
We talked about this at length four years
but
ago.
But my point now, I'm not going to bring it up again. Well, I did, but you know what I mean. I'm not going to talk about it again.
Right.
So how would you vote for Warren in that case?
You know, in that case, you can't. You'd have to have a delegate on the ballot that
said they
would vote for Warren.
So I don't know if she's going to get that luxury. But who knows? They might do it differently this year.
The problem is Washington's going to go for Biden. And the reason I say
why is Washington going to go for Biden?
Well, here's why I'm going to say that. I think Washington's going to go for Biden because you have all the people who were Team Warren, who enthusiastically voted for Elizabeth Warren, who have already mailed in their ballots, myself included.
Oh, good point.
And then you have those who are waiting for the results of Super Tuesday to cast their vote. And now that Bernie is you know, slightly, he's like 50 or something delegates behind Biden, they're going to vote, all the progressives, not the centrist Democrats, but the progressive Democrats, are going to vote for Bernie. So, because they've waited to see.
Yeah.
Right? So, that's going to dilute the progressive vote, and the centrist Democratic vote is going to prevail, and Biden's going to get it. That's my, you know, that's just what I think. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's what I, you know, fear, I suppose.
Here's something else that I don't know, but I'm wondering about. For Washington, for Illinois, you have to be a Democrat to vote in the Democratic primary.
Yeah.
Does Washington have that as well?
They do. In fact, on the envelope, you have to mark Republican or Democrat.
But what I'm saying is that, like, you have to mark that, but for ours, you have to actually, like, be registered, I believe. I guess not.
Hang on a sec. Stephen McCandless just walked in the room. Say hi, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
I love it.
Paul? It is Paul.
Yeah.
How's Paul doing?
Paul's doing great.
I'm doing great. Well. Yes.
Do you want to talk to Paul?
No.
Oh, okay, I'm going to hand off Stephen McCandless.
No.
Okay.
What about your ears?
Hey, Stephen.
I have to take a moment to appreciate how much larger my melon of a skull is than Ben's appropriately sized head. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's right.
The headphones sounded like they were breaking. As I ratcheted them farther and farther apart to get over my ears.
We're talking about the Republican or the election, surprisingly enough.
Oh, yeah. You know what my opinion about the election is? Would you like to hear it?
No. Yeah, sure, I would. I'd love to.
So a while back, I stopped following just about all information about the election, and I started following almost exclusively in my media information about SpaceX and Tesla.
Oh yeah.
And once or twice I explained this to my coworkers. And I have to say, it's made a world of difference. So before speaking with my coworkers about politics, I found their opinions to be, for the most part, wildly disappointing. They're a bunch of libertarians. And so when talking about healthcare, they start their position from the position of they don't believe insurance is a thing. And it's kind of hard to bridge that gap. But now that they know that I'm such a fan of SpaceX and Tesla, at least one of them makes a point of stopping by my desk every time he hears a piece of news that's damaging to Tesla and tells me about it. So
great.
I feel like that's... it's really helped me bond with my coworkers.
With friends like that.
Yeah, exactly. This is the I'm paying attention to that makes me happy. Oh yeah? Well, here's something I heard about it that sucks. Have you heard that?
Might I suggest, again, just becoming a really big fan of Vermin Supreme?
Right.
And that way you say, hey, you're a libertarian, right? Boy, that Vermin Supreme. Did you see when he asked Steyer to go back in time and kill Hitler with him?
You know what? That was great. Does he have posters? Does he have campaign materials? I might put that up around my office for all my libertarian friends. Is he a libertarian, Vernon?
He is running for the Libertarian presidential candidate, and a lot of Libertarians hate that fact.
Sweet. Because I'm putting that poster up.
That's what I was wondering, if he's got the endorsement of the Libertarians.
Oh, that is sweet.
Okay, so here's the thing. He's won a couple of states. Not all of them. But
you mean a couple of states for the Libertarian Party?
Right.
You'll forgive me. I'm a little behind on my breaking libertarian political news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How's their primary going? I figured out that Vermin Supreme is probably me.
That you figured that out.
At some point in the future, I'm going to go back in time and be him now. So that's why I started paying a little bit more attention.
So everything now is a spoiler for you in the future.
Right.
These are reverse spoilers.
I don't want to know that much about it. And here's the other thing, though, is that he's been in operation since the 1980s, which means that I'm not actually going to be him. I'm going to be impersonating him. At some point in time, I'm going to abduct and replace it. Like me from the me in the future, I'm going to go back in time and abduct and replace him. So the him that's there now is me, but it wasn't the him that was back in the 80s. Now, well, the thing that I'm worried about is, since I'm talking about it now, there's a good chance that this information will have gotten to him and he will have prepared himself.
I think he listens, yeah.
Yeah, only if I excerpt it and mail it to him.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
With timestamps, time code stamps.
So don't do that.
It's just, yeah.
Why not?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, you might as well.
You appreciate a heads up about knowing you're coming after you?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
It's only fair.
So wait, so we've just affected the time stream. So now he's the actual Vernon Supreme and not the Paul Vernon Supreme.
Which I guess, you know, I'll just be a family man instead, which is fine. He had a campaign video, which is, I'm going to take your guns and give you better ones, which was pretty cool.
I thought he was going to give everybody a pony.
He is. The pony is your... The basic thing is your pony is your identification, so it's going to be illegal to not have it with you.
That's the basic thing. That's the starting premise.
So
universal pony ID.
Right.
Hey,
you better
Steven,
pony up.
Hey, there you go.
Hey.
Ben, I think we should keep Steven on the line, but I think it's time for us to do corrections.
Okay.
Well, you're
all right.
You have time to stick around for corrections, Steven?
Hang on. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something that, now that I think about it, isn't actually new, because you've done this. Although I think it's cheating because you do it with the person who lives with you. But go ahead and do the intro there.
Okay.
Which
so,
you do every time for some reason.
At the very beginning, I've already explained that this is a podcast for future generations. But sometimes we get things wrong, and hey, what are future scientists going to do if they listen to this? How are they going to know what's real and what isn't if Ben and I don't do any research, which we don't do? Well, there's a built-in mechanism that I explain every single episode, and so I'm not going to explain it now. Listen to another episode, because I don't want Steven to make fun of me anymore. It's time for corrections!
Ding!
And thanks to Jennifer Fact Checker for sending in these corrections. She is my wife, and we live together.
Insane.
All right, are we ready?
Yeah,
go. Are you queuing up something?
I'm queued up, too.
All right, why don't you go? Actually, no, I'll do the first one.
Start with the good stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she put some work into it.
I'll do the first one, and then you do one. Were we talking about Tourette's last week?
Yes.
Yeah. You were talking about how Michael Palin's barber character, you thought maybe he had Tourette's.
Oh, right.
And
right.
I suggested that he was just a murderer.
Okay. So, number one, Tourette's has been cited as a contributing factor in one murder case, that of hiccup girl Jennifer Mee in 2010. She lured a young man she met online to a robbery, and when he resisted her, two co-conspirators shot him to death. Really not sure how Tourette's could cause one to do all that, but hey, sometimes a Hail Mary defense is the only one you've got. most crimes committed by people with Tourette's are petty, impulsive crimes like shoplifting, vandalism, or simple assault.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Hail Mary there, and I guess it. She didn't say if it worked or not. Steven, what do you got?
Well, let's see. So I, of course, Jennifer Fact Checker is. It put much more time into this. These are just notes I jotted down to myself when I was listening to your last show.
Oh yeah, perfect.
But I had to quote unquote do my job, so I didn't get these in. But for one, you were basically talking about facial ID.
Yes.
And
yes,
in regards to Amazon Go.
Right, and I wanted to mention to you, Paul. Not that I'm not a huge fan of you referencing things and then not explaining them and offering generalized explanations that are so generic that you that they could be anything or anyone and serve in no way as a satisfactory analogy, because of course you've removed all identifying markers. So say there's a person who may or may not have existed to which something happens. I'm not saying that it did, but right. Every one of those is just a beam of knowledge. Anyway, wanted to point out that if you were, for example, in the last podcast to have mentioned a technology and then said you couldn't talk about it and then gave an analogy which then referenced a more generalized version of that technology, it suggests that what you're trying to avoid does in fact have something to do with that technology and facial recognition and tracking people. I'm just putting that out there. If you give a list of things you're not allowed to talk about, it's a pretty good indication.
And here's the thing. I wasn't, and maybe I was being too confusing in my vagueness. I wasn't saying that. I was definitely talking about facial recognition technology.
Really?
The thing that
would this be a news story from China?
No. In this case, it is tracking a specific sportsman in the midst of a sporting game with a bunch of other sportsmen around him dressed the same way. You know, they're all in uniforms, right? So it's only going off of the face.
Or the jersey number. Or the skeletal frame, because it's mapping hands and it says, okay, well, this guy probably doesn't have three hands, so of those hands.
Are we assuming this person is not also wearing some sort of tracker, some sort of identifier? Because they have those cameras. Like surfers use them. Right. They wear it, and the camera on the beach will automatically follow them.
Maybe the arm that they don't have the cheating device on could have the tracking device.
Hey, that's a baseball reference.
Now,
the thing I was trying to be vague about, I guess, was where
I saw the demonstration.
Right.
That was the only thing I wanted to.
Yeah, I wanted to. Well, good thing that we nailed that down. I want to point out, I was suspicious of the initial reports coming out of China about the scope of the crowd identification, and the idea that some petty thief had shown up at some football game or something and was arrested, just pulled from the crowd.
Yeah,
I thought it was much, much more likely that they just followed that asshole to the game, pulled him out of the crowd, and then told everyone they were watching everybody's every move. I mean, that's obviously what you would do. Because, I mean, that's what the basis of the Panopticon is built on. It's not universal surveillance. It's you're being uncertain as to whether or not you're being surveilled.
Right.
So you self-surveil.
Exactly.
That's
Big Brother doesn't need to watch if you think he's watching.
Or you're not. There's no way to.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to tell if he's watching. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, exciting.
Schrodinger's Big Brother.
But I would point out, because this amuses me to no end, that Taylor Swift is an early adopter of this technology. Now,
is she?
Now, Taylor Swift, being a pragmatic young woman, and actually, Tay Tay's remarkable. And I still remember her.
Tay Tay?
Tay Tay, yeah. No, that woman throws down. She gets stuff done. She actually, remember the terms and conditions of Apple streaming? She actually got Apple to change them in favor of the artist. I mean, this woman.
Wow. Good for her.
Yeah, commands as gets things done. Anyway, she is, of course, she exists. So she has problems with stalkers.
Yeah.
So she had, for a while at her concerts, these booths where you could have a virtual photo taken with Taylor Swift, and she'd be standing right next to you.
Oh,
your face was run through a database. Because
exactly.
Because if you have this predilection, and they offer this to you, and you say, well, you know, I'm standing outside this dressing room for a couple hours, I'm going to kill some time here and get my photo taken. It was just perfect.
I'm wondering if anybody was identified and ushered out of the concert because they were a known threat to Tay Tay.
That was the plan. I think it happened.
I think we're keeping Steven from a meeting, so let's.
Well, they were meeting another, yeah, another annex meeting. It's just about the death of everything. Don't worry about it. And then the other thing I wanted, Jennifer has another line there. So,
If we wanted to, but if you wanted to go to the meeting,
yeah, oh, we could I do just yours wanted to next. Mention you guys were talking about buying shopping at Amazon Go Fresh or Go.
Amazon Go Grocery.
Right, sorry, Ben. You get to
damn it.
So I was just amused with this idea because you guys were speculating about how they're tracking you and the like, and I just like the idea that you guys had to shop for food there like you're a casino blackjack dealer, and you were just constantly exactly. having to show your wrists and everything to the cameras that
yep.
you knew were above you,
yep.
and just and lay out your bags of rice and Skittles. And then sweep them up, and yeah, it was just a lovely visual image. And I went down to the new Whole Foods that Amazon took it over on Broadway and Madison down here. And I have to say, I don't know if anyone's been there.
I've not been in there yet. I've only been to the one on Danny and Westlake.
My impression of the new one at Broadway and Madison, employees were shambling around. There were like. This was months ago, so it wasn't because of the plague. There were this sections of the shelves that hadn't been stocked.
Yeah,
like the entire place felt like some sort of like Midwestern quickie mart where a tornado might show up any second. I mean, it was just dispirited and grody, and it was like it felt unclean.
And why do you think that is? Did they just open too early?
No, I feel like Amazon bought it, cut everyone's wages. Everyone with any okay. opportunities quit. And what was left behind are people who are just sitting there, sniffing to see if they get cold and
right.
don't get any Can sick I- time. And yeah, no, it's awful. I mean, it was
Can
just
I
like,
ask I you, Broadway and Madison, what was there before it became a Whole Foods? I'm trying to picture.
Yeah, I think it was a little low-rise office building.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They replace whole buildings now. So you can't... Yeah. It's not
well,
like
that's
a
crazy.
Businesses get swapped out. It's entire buildings.
So are there any businesses that had been there before 2014?
I think it was like a polyclinic.
Right. Is there anything like nearby that I might think of?
It's across the street from the Clouds Inn.
Silver Cloud Inn.
Silver Cloud Inn.
Yeah.
Jimmy's, I believe, is the bar.
That's right. I've been there.
Jimmy's
wow.
Bar.
They close at 11,
okay.
which is early for a hotel.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Buddy of mine got kicked out of there once.
So,
just because they close at 11.
It was Mike, right? It was
Mike. No, it wasn't Gilson.
There
was nobody you knew.
Anything.
He lives in the
Sorry,
Niagara
Gilson.
Falls area.
That Stephen, that's who I was hitting on too. So I apologize to Gilson.
Right.
In absentia.
Well, he can write in.
Yeah.
So all right.
I should beat feet and talk about how we're going to save the theater. Just so you know, every performing arts venue in Seattle is doomed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the through line here.
Yeah, and not only that, but the funding organizations are now canceling their galas. Like, all the galas are canceled. Like,
oh, no.
Including things like for Arts Fund. Arts Fund is, of course, the fund for arts. You can see where this is going.
Yeah.
It was like if somebody started poisoning the oceans and just kept pouring poison into the oceans and watching everything die and standing there and not actually connecting the dots, realizing that eventually they'd die too.
Why aren't there any fish?
Yeah, exactly. There's all these fish floating at the surface and all these birds eating the fish and the birds dying, and you just sit there and say, gosh, I don't know. Yeah, so we're going to have to save ourselves.
That's the current plan, is to save ourselves. On the Boards just made $10,000 in 24 hours.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all we need to do over and over again.
Over and over again. Every night. $10,000. Can we do that? We can do that. $10,000 a day?
I'd be happy with two performances a weekend at $2,000 a throw.
All right. There you go.
There you are.
Seems reasonable.
You heard it here first.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
Paul,
Steven.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Steven.
Say hi to Betty for me.
Oh, I totally will, for sure.
So I got to say, as a person who lives in the Midwest, and I went to a place that just has the word food on it.
Working from home now.
Of course.
Just a big sign that says food. Maybe food store, I forget exactly. But all the people in there, much more high spirits than you would expect. And I think part of it is that when you live in this area, you don't expect as much. So the fact that there is food is nice. But some shelves in there are completely bare every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's
going to be interesting here when the whole infrastructure of food distribution breaks down.
Oh, yeah.
Because people here don't have farms. People don't... Your little windowsill garden's not going to be able to provide vegetables every night.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a big... Oh, I didn't even think about this, Ben. And I hate to even bring it up, but coronavirus thing?
Yeah.
People packing right in next to each other for theater performances.
Yeah. In fact, there's a theater in town that is doing something about that. They are providing personal space seating, which they are only selling every other seat in their house.
That's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. I like it. Jet City Productions. We have one more correction from Jennifer.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
We're just about out of time, but I want to get to this one. We were talking about how I heard that people need to be, or students are asked to choose a career path when they're super young.
Yes.
To get on a study track in college. And I'm suspicious of this, but Jennifer says, I don't know that it's entirely true that you must determine what scholarly path you're going to take by the third or fourth grade. I think it's more like if you have a kid who is clearly passionate about something, you have the option to put them on a path that really focuses on those subjects with general studies in other areas. I mean, the STEM thing is an option, but no one makes you decide to put your kid on that track, nor does not choosing necessarily seriously impact your ability to focus on those things in the future. I think some people think that it does, but I know a lot about college admissions due to my dad's profession in university administration, and in reality, a lot of that stuff really, truly...
Oh, Ben, you did it this time.
I did it too.
Oh, well, she did it, and then you...
A lot of that really, truly is irrelevant to any particular individual's ambition to go in any particular college. The number one factor of the chance of an individual's acceptance to any particular institution is the parent's income. Well, there you go. That's a little commentary from Jennifer Fact Checker for you.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it makes sense, too, I guess.
Yeah.
The big thing, I feel as though... And, of course, this could be me just, reflecting on my own time in college and all that. I went all over the place, right? Took whatever I wanted to and then put a general studies degree together.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have a virtual reality degree, which is what I wanted.
Yeah.
They
probably do now.
Yeah, yeah, most likely. I figured that I don't know how smart this was, but I figured the technology at that time would be surpassed so much that I wouldn't actually learn anything useful in the technology side. So I just focused on theater, creative writing, and psychology in an attempt to, do the meat side of things. But some dude was saying, this is just recently an online thing, but I think it's kind of relevant. This guy wanted to do, I think it was some sort of computer thing in college. And he was like, why do I have to take fine arts? I don't get it. Why do I have to learn to speak foreign language? They should just let me do this computer thing. And the point that I was going to make and the point that other people made to him, I didn't write. It's one of those things, I love not writing to people if somebody else has already done it. We don't send people to college to learn how to do a specific thing. College isn't a trade school. The idea is that you become a more well-rounded individual and therefore can bring that to your profession.
Right.
And I fear that the United States is trying to get people away from that, which will be to our detriment.
Well, but that's the thing. We don't have enough people who... are only focused on one thing. We don't have enough tradespeople.
And speaking about not enough tradespeople, hey Betty,
there is going to be a large lack of qualified individuals to work in manufacturing in the next 10 to 15 years.
Yes.
Due to the silver tsunami, which is what they're calling it.
Another way to think about it, though, of course, is that someone who goes to college won't want to be in a trade.
Right.
Because they don't pay enough.
Right. That's one of the misconceptions. And another one is that it's dirty, dangerous work. But the thing is, you know, people are also like, well, why should I go into manufacturing? It's all going to be automated anyway. Well, you need somebody to work the robots.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Betty.
Hi.
Hey, Betty, how old are you?
14.
That's right, you're 14. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel as though you're on any specific career path at this time?
No.
And if you had been placed on a career path, when you were, let's say, when you were in third grade and somebody had said, what do you want to be when you grow up? What would you have said?
I don't know. I don't remember what I thought in third grade.
But I guess my question is this. Whatever job you would have picked in third grade, would it be the job that you would want now?
Probably not.
See, that's the same thing that I ran into. So yeah. That's one reason why not to do that sort of thing, I think.
Okay, cool.
All right, see you, Betty.
Bye.
Is she noping out already?
Yeah, that's it. She's gone.
Alrighty. Good talk.
All right. Which is fine, because we're already over time, as we've stated.
Indeed.
I think we did a good job, though, today, Ben.
Yeah, it's fun.
A fine episode.
Right.
We got. In fact, this would be, if someone wanted to start out, right? They don't want to listen to all of our old episodes. In fact, you could put this on. You could call this the perfect starter episode! Yeah, point.
It's a good jumping on point.
Yeah, you've got me, you. We have Jennifer Fact Checker with corrections.
We have a little surprise bit of Betty, guest.
And Stephen McCandless.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast, a favorite returning champion, Stephen McCandless.
Indeed.
So, awesome. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
And to our new listeners, you know, we've got a huge back catalog for you to go look at.
And if you listen to our huge back catalog, you will find out that the reason why our sign-off is, Paul, keep it wrong.
Oh, yes, Ben. And I want to say also to you and yours and everyone out there, keep it wrong.
Will do. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you next week, Ben.
All right. Bye.
Yep. And this is another thing we do. We keep this part where I try to figure out how to turn off all my stuff. I think, oh, wait. I got this one. Okay. This one.